Welcome to the podcast. I'm Joanna Colbert, and you're listening to The Casting Session. I decided to create this podcast out of a desire to help actors feel more confident in their auditions. This podcast is an inside look at filmmaking through the perspective of casting. In these interviews, I'm going to provide you with in-depth, enlightening, fun conversations with the industry's top casting directors, actors, directors, and producers. We're going to cover a range of topics, like the audition process, and the role casting plays in the collaboration with directors, and the overall craft of casting. Basically, we're giving you a behind-the-scenes look into the casting process. So without further ado, I bring you The Casting Session. I am back with the lovely Julia Kim, and I wanted to take a deeper dive onto the following paradigm, if you will. So auditioning is a separate skill from acting. There's film acting, there's theater acting, there's all different techniques, styles. I want to talk about the audition actually being a separate skill.
Well, there's commercial acting too, which is casting that I do as well. And your commercial acting auditions really is about servicing the product. So yes, you need to have acting skills, but you also need to have the savvy to recognize the beats that you need to hit within a very small amount of time. These spots are 15 or 30 seconds, and then there's bumpers and voiceover announcing. So really the acting meat of it is, you know, more like 20 seconds. And so you need to come in and you need to know that there's a happy medium between fast and taking too much time in delivering your dialogue. You also need to know where to take the beats of pauses within this 20-second time frame. There's just a lot of things, I think, that, you know, you don't get the copy until you arrive. So usually the copy isn't that challenging, but some of it has. Depends. I like to always give the actors and their reps the material beforehand if possible, but that doesn't mean the actor usually gets it from the rep. So most times they're arriving thinking they're going to learn it right on the spot. We usually have it written up on a dialogue board, but still you need to have the dialogue down in order for you to do the physical acting. So there's a lot even within that short time frame of delivering that you need to think about. So there's that. And I see why certain actors get booked regularly on commercials, because they do know how to come in and break it down and deliver fresh takes and make it funny within the context of the product that they're selling. And that, I think, really does make a wonderful sort of training ground for the theatrical acting audition process. With theatrical auditioning process, I mean, it's just a very sterile environment, and you need to make whatever emotion or magic come alive within a very pared down environment. The camera in your face and the assistant, the casting director, and pretty much just the two of you. If you're in a producer session, then it's usually people half paying attention to you and and only perking up when they see or hear something that makes them perk up. Because if you think about it, they sort of know the material inside and out themselves. And most actors are going to come in and do it the way that you expect them to. So when there's something that makes them look up from their laptops or whatnot, hopefully it's for a good reason, but I think you need to think about a way that's going to be uniquely you within, still in the context of what is expected with the material, if that makes sense. I think if you've just put yourself on tape, which seems to be the new normal, there's really not a lot of adjustment. That's the beauty of being able to come in for a pre-read or pre-audition with the casting director. We get to work with you and find the performance, and then you get the callback. But if you're doing a self-tape, certainly we're going to email you notes or give you notes through your rep, and then you'll come in and we'll kind of refresh your memory and say, remember the notes that we gave you, and then you get to do it in front of the producers. It's still not as great as if you've had come in for a casting director and got to work personally, but yeah, I mean, it's just making that magic come to life in a room that doesn't have any of the frills of what's going on in that scene and transporting us to where that scene is taking place.
So yeah, we talked about this a little bit before, but from what you've just said, and you really are the expert on really being able to help an actor define the difference between these different types of auditions. So would you say that it comes down to maybe more so for theatrical, but let me know if you agree with that. It sort of comes down to a trust in one's self and one's ability. So the actor needs to really trust their ability, come in, show us your essence, and also trust that the casting director knows what they're doing, knows what they're looking for, has already had discussion with the director and or the client, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe talk a little bit more, because you sort of have this unique situation where you have cast commercials and independent films, like really distilling down the difference between a casting audition and an indie film audition.
Well, I think both situations require a committed audition. So an actor should definitely have a committed way of coming in and delivering the scene. And then the adjustments come after that. But I don't think it's beneficial for an actor to come in and try to guess how we want to see it. I think their unique interpretation is great to start with. And then the adjustments occur after that. So I try to not burden too many notes with them with too many notes in the beginning, just some basic ones like please stand, you know, three quarter, you know, we're going to shoot from the waist up, so you don't need to worry about this or that. Just the technical stuff, we do like to just give the actor an idea of what we're doing. And then I just kind of let them do their thing. And then once I hear the delivery, we can make adjustments and have them do it again. Yeah, I mean, I think there's more room for individual interpretation with theatrical versus commercial. Commercials are, you know, they kind of want it a certain way. And if there is some wonderful actor, you know, back in the day, I remember Rainn Wilson, I remember Zach Galifianakis, I remember so many of these very gifted comedic actors that can give you a slight nuanced difference in each take. And that is why they've catapulted to where they are today. But, you know, I just think even with commercials, less is more. It depends on the director. You know, I have a director that I work with regularly that just prefers a theatrical interpretation to commercial material. When the situation is absurd, you don't need to add to the absurdity. He always recommends that we play it straight, that the actor plays it straight and dramatically, and then the comedy is going to reveal itself through that sort of straight delivery. You don't have to try to be funny, because what the copy is already absurd, and then you add the production design and you add all the other frills, then it just kind of completes the comedy picture, you know, the comedic picture. But yeah, I think the main difference is that theatrical gives you a little more room for individual interpretation, and commercials, really, they are expecting it a certain way.
And would you go so far as to say the dress is a little more important and the look is a little more important in commercials, sort of like if it's a business person, wear a suit, whereas would you also want that for your theatrical auditions?
I think definitely with commercials, you need to spell it out more. Playing a doctor, a white lab coat, a business environment, certainly you need to come in looking polished and groomed and business-like. with theatrical, that was an adjustment I had to make even as a casting director. Like if someone's biting into a burger, we provide something that the actor bites into and chews for a bit, because commercially the client and the product is going to want to see what this person looks like when they're chewing food and mm-hmm. how they chew the food. And we even technically say, open your mouth a little bit so we can see some of your teeth while you're chewing. I mean, it's very micromanaged to present the best case scenario for the product. I mean, you know, all those things that seem like, oh, wow, it's so natural, and is certainly, yeah, you'd be surprised how much micro directing there is, especially with food stuff and hands, how you handle a product. If your hands are going to be on camera, we slate actors with hands, both front and back, so that we see what your hands look like and how you handle an object with your hands, things like that. Certainly there's many ways to cheat all that, but that is the main difference. Like theatrical, you're servicing the character. Commercially, you're servicing the product.
Ah, that's a great distinction. Quick question. Have you ever had an actor come in for a commercial and you thought they were really right, but they weren't dressed appropriately? Mm-hmm. Have you ever sent them home? Or
I haven't sent them home. I've had actors come in very lazy, not coming in to really help them get the part in any way. You know, whether it's you're coming, you know, ladies or men coming out and coming in workout wear, and they have to be in a more polished environment, that's not going to serve them well. We're like den mothers and fathers. I have a little bag of tricks, and I certainly always prepare myself for actors to come in not prepared. So I always have like something on hand to be able to quickly throw on them to make.
Oh, really? What do you have in your bag of tricks?
Well, we have prop closets and we have wardrobe items in there, or I pick some things that I have that I just bring with me. I have lab coats on hand. I have,
oh, wow.
Oh, I have my own arsenal of props that, whether it's a cowboy hat or, what else do I have? I mean, I have all kinds of things. I have technical gadgets that help them if you're holding, some kind of like video game, PlayStation remote things. I have like four of those.
Oh, wow. I never knew this. I love this. This is reminding me of when I was casting Step Up with Rich Mento. We had to take someone who was getting very close to the lead, but the powers that be weren't totally convinced. We had to take her to a hair salon and put her in a pink cardigan and have them cut her bangs, literally videotaping her, like doing pliés on the stairwell of the hair salon to convince the producers that she could, could be America's sweetheart.
I have similar stories of going to great lengths to convince the people that this person is indeed capable of transforming into whatever that they have doubts about. And hair washing is one of them. I literally like took somebody into the bathroom and had them like kind of get their hair wet in the sink and just did a whole transformation physically with them with the best of our circumstances. It's kind of crazy.
Love it. Oh, man. If people only knew, right?
I know.
Well, that's why we're doing this podcast. Behind the scenes, how the sausage is made.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we are the actors' allies. They need to remember that, you know?
Yeah.
So we're
that's
doing
how
whatever
far we will go. We will wash your hair. Yeah. If we have to
cut bangs, wash your hair. Exactly. Take the coat off our back and put it on you or whatever, you know. I've literally, yeah, I have hair bands, I have all barrettes, I have all kinds of stuff. I'm always fixing people. Just the tiniest of tweaks could make a difference, you know.
Absolutely. I love it. Okay, that was amazing. Now I'm going to ask you about a program that you're involved with called Invasion. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to hear more about that. I wanted our listeners to hear about what it is and what you're doing.
Invasion LA is what it's called. And it came about, one, because I'm an Asian American casting director and I come from immigrant parents. And I have a real clear understanding of what that is. Like, you know, there's a new influx of Asian people wanting to get into the business of acting now that there are roles that are being, you know, acting, dancing, singing. I mean, it's a viable career choice for Asians now. And I think long ago, we know Asian actors were really relegated to very like day playery type roles, but now there's actual roles of substance, and a lot of these Asian parents are open to getting their kids into the business as kids now see themselves being represented on screen, and they're like, "Mom, I see, you know, all kinds of representation on screen, and I want to be a part of that." And they just didn't know how to get their kids started, or young adults don't know how to get started. And you know that it's a slippery slope out there. There's a lot of scams. There's a lot of misinformation. I think like I wanted to help them find the right path and also give them just the basics of the industry. Whether an actor is just starting out, and if someone says, "I want to, we want to tape your a slate. What is a slate? Show me profiles. What are sides? What do sides mean? Can I hold my sides? Do I look straight into the camera when I'm auditioning? Do I look to the casting director?" There's a lot of things that we take for granted in the knowledge department that a lot of these newbies just wouldn't even know. So I wanted to help them get off on the right foot. I was seeing a definite change in numbers as far as talent auditioning and talent to choose from. I mean, when I would get an Asian role, I would see the usual suspects, and now I see thumbnails and pages of new Asian talent. And also, do I change my name? Is it okay if I have an accent? Do I try to disguise my accent? There's just so many ways to go about it. And I just wanted to have the Asian community be able to put their best foot forward. And as I said, we're the actor's ally. And I'm an Asian casting director, which gives me an extra advantage. Mm-hmm. So that's where it came about. And I have had classes where I've had multiple people, and I also do one-on-one. So if, you know, this young man reached out to me from New York right now because things are quiet and wanted to take advantage of that and get my consult on his headshot. Is this the right headshot for me? Does it reflect who I am? Should I do this? Should I do that? And you know, I don't want them to spend too much money in the beginning. Like, I just want them to know that these basics are all that you need to get started, and that you don't, you know, that classes are important. And also just to see where I see them fitting in the chain of things, you know, do I see them more as a, you know, like hearing what their desires are and then helping them find their place in the industry through their desires, whether it's comedy or drama or web series or commercials or stand-up comedy or all of that stuff.
Great. So if I'm listening and I would like to get your counsel, what would I do? Go to invasionla.com?
Yes. Or you could just go to castingbyjuliakim.com, and then there's an Invasion LA menu there that they can reach out to me through there.
Great. How did it get started?
How did it get started?
Did you start it or?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's your brainchild.
It's my brainchild.
That's great.
Yeah, just, you know, the influx of Asian people wanting to get into the business and not knowing how to start, not knowing the basics of the industry. I met a lot of Asian parents who were like, "Oh, my child really loves to act and dance, and they're constantly, you know, going on YouTube and singing and posting videos, but I want them to actually have a chance at making this a career, but I don't know how to start. So it just came from the need out there that I felt like there was an opportunity to help them.
That's wonderful. Well, I hope people are able to hear about it on this podcast and, you know, sort of have Julia help them help steer them in the right direction. That's great. In closing, I have a segment of the podcast called The Ritual, and I like to ask people about their morning beverage ritual. I have a particular adoration for my morning espresso ritual, and yeah. I feel like it sort of defines me in a way and definitely helps me start my day in the best way possible. So I like to talk to people about it.
Yeah, that is the morning ritual. The first thing that you wake up and go, "Ah, I can't wait," is my coffee. Yes.
Sometimes even the night before.
Yes, it's so true.
Something to look forward to.
My partner wakes up before me, so I get to wake up to coffee in the house, the smell of it, and we just have our good old-fashioned drip machine, and I have recently started putting collagen in my coffee.
Ooh, the powder?
Yep. It just kind of takes that off my plate as far as like the consumption of it, and I found this plant-based collagen that has a vanilla flavor, and you know, it alters the coffee. So I basically have one cup with that, and then when I'm done, I have like another, probably a half cup with just soy milk. That's my morning bev.
And what? How do you make your drip?
I'd say metal cone, and
is it a pour over?
It's a what?
A pour over?
No, it's an automatic drip. Yeah, it's a coffee machine.
And what kind of beans do you use?
I have Starbucks breakfast blend, which is not too strong, but not too weak.
Okay, and in closing, do you ever feel you need coffee when you're doing a casting session?
No. I kind of have just stick to it when I first wake up, and it's this comforting warm cup. Even if it's a hot day, I do like to have my warm cup of coffee, and then I really rarely crave that taste during the day. I've moved on to other beverages.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Julia. And I am so very grateful to you for taking the time to do the podcast. And I think it's going to be enlightening for people, really do. And I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
And to my audience, thank you for listening today. I hope you found the episode enlightening. It's really my true desire to share a unique perspective on the casting process and help you feel more confident and inspired. The podcast is available on Anchor and Spotify. For new episode updates, you can follow the show on Instagram at The Casting Session. Please feel free to share this with your friends and write a review. And tune in next week for more behind-the-scenes gold. I'm Joanna Colbert, and I'll see you at the next casting session.